Good morning and welcome to our May 19th, 2025 Rules Committee meeting. I am your Chair, Supervisor Shimon Walton, and joined by Vice Chair Supervisor Cheryl, as well as Supervisor Dorsey filling in for Supervisor Mandelman this morning. And we are also joined by Supervisor Souter. Our clerk today is Victor Young, and we have Jamie Echeverry from SFGov TV, who will be broadcasting this meeting. Mr. Clerk, do you have any announcements this morning?
Yes, public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing either of the following ways. Email them to myself, the Rules Committee Clerk, at victor.young@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it will be included as part of the file. You may also send your written comments via U.S. mail to our office in City Hall, 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Documents to be included as part of the file should be submitted to the clerk. Items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors' agenda of June 3, 2025, unless otherwise stated. That completes my initial announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk, and I'd like to make a motion to excuse President Mandelman from this morning's meeting.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Member Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion to excuse President Mandelman passes without objection. Mr. Clerk, please call item number one.
Item number one is ordinance amending the Administrative Code to establish and define the membership and duties of the Board of Directors of the San Francisco Downtown Revitalization and Economic Recovery Financing District.
Thank you so much, and I know we will have a presentation from OEWD, but right now we will hear from Supervisor Dorsey.
Thank you, Chair Walton, for scheduling this item that Mayor Lurie and myself, together with its other co-sponsors, including Vice Chair Cheryl and Supervisor Sauter, are excited to see move forward. This legislation seeks to implement AB 2488, a state bill passed last year that was authored by San Francisco's own Assembly member, Phil Ting, and which gives us another tool to incentivize adaptive reuse projects. I know we are all by now keenly aware of the challenges we face in the current state of downtown and its commercial vacancies. Now, some obstacles to progress, like interest rates, for example, are beyond our control. But to the extent some factors are within our control, we should do everything we can to incentivize and support these kinds of projects. Adaptive reuse developments hold significant promise for housing production in our downtown, of course. But to me, the real promise of adaptive reuse is that it gives us a rare opportunity to correct 20th century land use decisions, which foresaw wisdom at the time in 9-to-5 business districts with few other uses, and bring these into the 21st century with a mix of residential and residential serving uses, too. This is about 21st century urbanism that celebrates downtown neighborhoods that are every bit as vibrant on nights and weekends as they are from 9-to-5. I am blessed to represent some of these mixed-use neighborhoods in the East Cut and Mission Bay, for example, but the Downtown Revitalization Financing District contemplated by AB 2488 gives us an ambitious roadmap to move the promise of 21st century urbanism forward by building the housing we need and revitalizing neighborhoods that attract commuters and shoppers, tourists and conventions, and that can do much to power our city's economic comeback. This board has taken action on other policies that help facilitate these projects. AB 2488, Downtown Revitalization Financing District, is another tool that will help facilitate needed progress. I'm grateful to former Assembly Member Ting for his leadership in crafting this visionary legislation, and I'm optimistic about the future of a thriving mixed-use downtown. I know we have a presentation today on the details of the legislation and action before us today, and so through the chair, shall I invite up Jacob Bintliff from the Office of Economic and Workforce Development.
Thank you so much. Supervisor Dorsey, Chair Walton, Supervisors, good morning. Jacob Bintliff with the Office of Economic and Workforce Development. Going to provide a brief overview of that revitalization financing district that Supervisor Dorsey just mentioned. The bill AB 2488 allows San Francisco specifically to create one such district in the downtown within the boundaries shown on this map. Specifically, the purpose of the district is support office to residential or commercial to residential conversion. The way that it would do that is by allowing the city to divert the incremental property tax increase that is generated by these projects back to those projects in the form of an annual payment for a period of up to 30 years, creating a financial incentive that offsets the development cost of those projects. Under the bill, projects need to opt into the program by the end of 2032. And this district also has to be governed by a district board of directors that is a separate legal entity from the city. That is the subject of the ordinance before you today. One piece of context I want to share with you also, supervisors, we have engaged some consultants to look at this who have indicated on their preliminary analysis that they believe there's about 50 commercial properties within this downtown district area that would lend themselves to conversion, and that these properties are capable of generating something like 4,400 units. So this would be a significant impact to both our housing goals and our downtown recovery goals within the district. Let me talk about the formation process and where we are today. We're at the very beginning. The first two steps of setting up this district are for the Board of Supervisors to adopt a resolution of intention to form the district. That resolution will be at the Budget and Finance Committee on Wednesday this week, and for the Board of Supervisors to also adopt an ordinance establishing this district board of directors. That's the item before you today. The district board under the ordinance would need to be formed then within 90 days and hold its first meeting within 120 days of the effective date of this ordinance. The district board's primary responsibility after that will be to adopt to present a district financing plan to the Board of Supervisors after having held two public hearings. The Board of Supervisors then would need to adopt that plan before the district board could then hold a final public hearing, adopt the financing plan, and officially form this district. So let me talk a little bit more about the district board of directors itself, which is the subject of this ordinance. It would be comprised of 5 members and 1 alternate member. That would include 3 board of supervisors members and 1 alternate member who is also a board of supervisors member. Those members would all be appointed by the president of the board of supervisors. There would also be 2 community members who would be nominated by the president of the board of supervisors and appointed by the board through the rules committee process. The members would have 4-year terms, except that 1 BOS member and 1 community member would have an initial 2-year term to provide for staggered terms over time. This board of directors would be administered by the clerk of the Board of Supervisors, who have graciously and bravely stepped up to staff the clerical and administrative functions of this body, with the support also of OEWD and the Controller's Office, who will work in partnership with the assessor, recorder, tax collector on some of the technical items to administer this. This will be a public body under California law, subject to the Brown Act and our local Sunshine Ordinance as well. And again, the primary responsibilities of this district board are to adopt that financing plan, that is the initial step to form the district, to adopt other governing policies such as guidelines and eligibility requirements for how projects opt in, and to meet at least once annually after the formation process, and to adopt an annual report. That's supervisors. Thank you very much for your consideration this morning. Thank you again, Supervisors Dorsey, Cheryl, Sauter, for your co-sponsorship, and here to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I don't see Supervisor Sauter.
Thank you, Chair Walton, and thank you to OEWD for all your hard work on this. I just quickly wanted to share my support for this as well and hope you'll support it, colleagues. This is a really important first step to this downtown financing district. As was referenced, a new study had just come out last week saying this has the potential to create 4,400 new homes, convert 49 buildings, and add an additional $15.5 million per year in tax revenue. And, you know, I think when you look at the map there, as you see Union Square and downtown and mid-market and into parts of Soma, I think we are seeing improvement in these areas. We're seeing activity. We're seeing new openings. We're seeing increased foot traffic and feelings of safety. But I think there's a certain point where there's a lot of these buildings that are, I kind of think of them as very stubborn, and they're not going to return to their previous use no matter how things change with our work remote and office culture. So to get 50 of these buildings would be significant. It really would increase foot traffic downtown, increase the ability for those small businesses to have new customers. So I hope you all support this, and thanks to OEWD for all your work bringing this to us.
Thank you, Supervisor Sauter. And we will also hear from our clerk's office, and we have Elisa Samara representing our clerk's office.
Hello, good morning, members of the Rules Committee, Chair Walton. Thank you for having me here today. I'm Elisa Samara. I'm here on behalf of the Clerk of the Board, Angela Calvillo. We just wanted to point on three things today on this matter, to give some detail on our work associated with the Downtown Revitalization District that's going to be expected. The cost associated with this work, when I also have Dr. Edward Diasis here, who can provide any details if you guys have more questions, and just our general concerns around this board of directors that's being proposed for formation. This ordinance, as Jacob Bintliff indicated, does designate the office of the clerk of the board to provide administrative and clerical support to the board of directors. The creation of this body is in accordance with AB 2488, which we understand has been in process for over a year, although the clerk's office was only brought into this discussion during the last few months and have been concerned about funding in order to meet these mandates. After discussing with the admin deputy and OEWD, we believe that this may be possible for us, since the PUC Revenue Bond Oversight Committee was just recently sunset on January 1st, and it does provide us a little bit of allowance with our staffing and to designate one of our 1492s to cover this board of directors. The previous 1492 that was partially funded by Reebok will be placed on the general fund, and you will see this position now assessing this body. Our admin deputy is estimating an annual cost of approximately $130,000 to administer, and this accounts for what we believe the body will need at this point. We do not have a full scope of what this is going to entail. We have coordinated with the controller's office for a similar body to see what their coverage and cost has been, and this is what our estimates have been based off of. Beyond the clerk, we also expect that the legislative clerks may be providing some support. Our compliance officer and myself, the legislative deputy director, as overseeing this body. The ordinance provides that the district shall reimburse the cost incurred by our department, but we understand that those funds may not be available for another several years. So the cost to administer is a new cost for the Board of Supervisors, and this will include interpretation, translation services, meeting broadcasting, noticing, and other administrative meeting costs. The Office of the Clerk of the Board will submit a budget request in June for funding to cover the ongoing costs to administer the district mandated, and the general fund can reimburse itself for this funding in 5 years when the county begins to collect incremental tax revenue from the district. I believe the Clerk of the Board and Dr. Diasis may provide more detailed funding information at Wednesday's Budget and Finance Committee hearing on the resolution of intention that will set it. And that concludes my comments.
Thank you so much, Ms. Samero. Just to my colleague, Supervisor Dorsey, you may or may not know that at this time, but is there a plan to ensure that the clerk's office is made whole and supported?
I think it was my understanding that this might be, there might be some time that we have to get there. Is that correct? But let me.
Yeah, that's right. As Deputy Clerk Samara indicated, the bill does allow for administrative costs, including the startup costs, to be funded from the proceeds. However, there won't be any proceeds until a project has reached final completion, so that will be a period of 3 to 5 years from when we start this. When we get to the Budget Committee, you'll see the BLA has recommended that we do set up a tracking system for the departments who are involved to track their time on that, and we're happy to work with departments to do that so that we can track that time and have it be reimbursed. You know, at OEWD, it's been kind of baked into our work plan to be working on this. We've been working very closely with the controller's office also, worked with the clerk's office to talk through what the administrative burdens might be, and we're kind of trying to all work together to make sure that we can get it done with the resources that we have available, knowing that we would eventually be able to be reimbursed for that time.
And did I hear correctly that there will be a budget request for this upcoming budget season?
Good morning, committee members. Dr. Edward Diasis, CFO for the Board of Supervisors, Office of the Clerk of the Board. There will be a budget request in June to help advance funding to cover the administrative costs. As Mr. Bintliff pointed out, there won't be funding available to defray admin costs for 3 to 5 years. but the work has to begin immediately, so we do need funding to support the costs.
Did the mayor indicate support of this cost on this funding request?
I am not aware of that. Maybe OEWD knows more.
Yeah, we know that the clerk of the board has been talking with the mayor's budget office on this item, and we've been working together to scope what we think is an appropriate and necessary amount, but at this time, I believe that conversation is underway.
Thank you.
I'd also like to add that the estimated cost of $130,000 are assuming 4 meetings per year. So there might be more meetings per year, so the cost could also go up if there are more than 4 meetings per year by this district. Doing just the quick math, $15 million of incremental tax funding, 5% admin costs, that's $750,000 to be split amongst OEWD, clerk of the board, office of the controllers. So that $750,000, while it seems like a lot, could be spoken for very easily, very quickly, because of the intense analytical work as well as administrative work that the three departments have to perform for this district.
I'm definitely supportive of this legislation, but our clerk's office has a lot of work on their plate. So it would be great to know and hear from the mayor's office on whether or not they plan to support this budget ask. I'm not going to put up roadblocks today, but most certainly we should know what the mayor's intentions are by the time this gets to the Board of Supervisors.
Thank you, Supervisor. We'll work on that as we head to the Budget Committee this week. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Seeing no one else on the roster, we will go to public comment on this item.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should like to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this matter? Please approach the podium.
Hello, Supervisors. I'm Mark Babson. I'm president of Emerald Fund. We are San Francisco housing developers. We've been at it about 45 years, developed 35 projects, including over 5,000 units of housing, including a conversion of the 100 Van Ness office building to 418 apartments that opened 10 years ago. Before I get into specifics, I just want to thank the team at OEWD that's been instrumental in leading this for a couple of years. Ann and Jacob and Lee have just done great work. So we wouldn't be here without their good work. So we've been looking at what does it take to do a conversion now. And we studied 15, 16 buildings at last count, where we bring in the architect and structural engineer and MEP engineers and assess a building, come up with some plans, give it to a general contractor to price, do a market study of rents, put it together in pro forma. And what we've learned time after time is there are a few levers that the public sector controls. It can control interest rates, as you mentioned, Supervisor Dorsey, or rents or construction costs, but it can address certain fees. And the big three, and we're at the end here, was transfer tax, affordable housing, and then property tax. And there's also historic tax credits, which help, and that program's already in place. And transfer tax was passed by a ballot measure in March of 2024. You all voted on non-imposing fees. Oh, I'm almost done. This is the last stage, and got the bill through the state last year, and this is the city's implementation. And I do believe that we are going to start to see conversions now that this last piece is here. So thank you.
Good morning. My name is Erica McClitus, and I work for SPUR, a public policy and civic planning nonprofit. We've spoken previously in support of legislation that reduces transfer taxes and impact fees on these types of projects because we believe that these conversions will be essential for downtown's new future, particularly because they would create workforce housing where the transit infrastructure and other necessary public infrastructure pieces are already in place or can easily be built out. We believe that creating this downtown authority will help the city expedite that recovery. And we've seen the strategy of reinvesting these property tax revenues back into districts work in other cities, both in America and internationally. And those cities have been able to use conversion projects and other public investments in reshaping the urban form to transform their downtowns from business districts that empty out into 24/7 social hubs with housing, with entertainment, with retail that prove to be more economically resilient. Because of these reasons, because our research shows that this is a strategy that will work, we support this legislation and we hope that you will too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Brianna Morales and I am with the Housing Action Coalition. I am their organizer and I'm also here to speak in support of this legislation. We've heard a lot about recovery and needing to make sure that the plan will work, and there have been a lot of resources and work to make sure that we can bring people the homes that they very desperately need. First, we want to thank the mayor and all of the Board of Supervisors to making sure that this plan is thoughtful, careful, and will deliver what we've promised to the residents of San Francisco. We want to make sure that we can support the legislation that will bring new life and opportunities to an area that has a lot of capability but not a lot of action. We want to reimagine downtown to be a place where people can imagine bringing their families into, especially when thinking about generational needs to be able to have a home and raise children and be able to stay there for long-term investment. It's a crucial first step in implementing a new financing program that can support housing conversions downtown in a climate where a lot of things are not penciling. We need to take bold steps in making sure that we can actually produce the housing that a lot of people are relying on. Early estimates of this program show that it could unlock up to 4,000 new homes, and that's exactly the kind of investment that right now we really need to give San Francisco residents a stable future. So we really hope to see this project and plan move forward. Thank you very much.
Are there any additional speakers on this matter? There are no additional speakers.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers, public comment is now closed. Supervisor Dorsey.
Thank you, Chair Walton. I just appreciate everybody, and I didn't mention the work of OEWD. Thank you so much for your work on this. Again, thanks to Assemblymember Ting and for Spur and everybody who worked on this. Chair Walton, I would move to approve this proposed ordinance and send it out to the full board with a positive recommendation.
Thank you. And on that motion?
Yes, on that motion. Vice Chair Cheryl. Aye. Cheryl, aye. Member Dorsey. Dorsey, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. The motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 2.
Item number 2 is an ordinance waiving the contracting requirements of the Administrative Code for tenant improvement performing by CAST at Large LLC, a prospective port tenant, or its agent for a lease with the Port of San Francisco for property at Pier 29, approved by the Port Commission.
Thank you so much, Supervisor Sauter. Did you have anything for this item?
Thank you, Chair Walton. Yeah, here to support what I think is going to be a really important project for our waterfront and an important project in District 3. You know, this space here at Pier 39, kind of on the northeast corner of the Embarcadero, has really for too long been a gap between Fisherman's Wharf and the ferry building, and I think this helps fill that in. But more importantly than filling it in with anything, it's filling it in with something really, really special in our city. When we think about arts and making space for artists in our city, so often, sadly, we're talking about the loss of space, and this is really a tremendous opportunity because we're actually adding space here. And we're doing it in a beautiful historic pier. I understand that this project was approved by the Port Commission recently, and I hope colleagues that you'll support this waiver to make sure that we can open this next year.
Thank you so much. And I know first we're going to hear from the port, Scott Landsittle.
Thank you. Good morning, supervisors. Yes, Scott Landsittle, Deputy Director of Real Estate for the port. Happy to be here to discuss the waiver with you. About a year ago, we started an effort to try to find creative uses for some of the dormant sheds that have been sitting vacant for some time. And in the spirit of economic recovery, of capitalizing on what we saw as a improving trend of foot traffic along the waterfront, we started a conversation with CAST, the Community Arts Stabilization Trust. I'm joined here today by Carolyn Choi and David Keenan of CAST, who have worked tirelessly to try to understand and figure out a path to quickly stand up an arts use in the shed that will be lights touch and support the arts community more generally. This community, as we know, has suffered since the pandemic with a shortage of locations, with some of our fine art institutions in the city closing or struggling. We really see this as an opportunity to capitalize on an underutilized asset and bring artists to be front and center in a district in the North Waterfront that sees great tourist traffic right next to the cruise terminal, and something that will celebrate local artists from all over the city, from all districts. The team, the cast team, who have really been driving the build out of this space, which is intended to be light touch with more temporary improvements. As was pointed out, the Port Commission approved a 2-year lease agreement with CAST with an opportunity to extend an additional 2 years. And as part of the CAST team, CAST has brought in another group, Art and Water, anchored by Dave Eggers and J.D. Beltran, who I'll introduce here in a moment, who will be facilitating a further Arts in Residence program. And I thought I'd hand it to them just for a second so they can explain the program for a few minutes, and then we'll pick it up with some final comments on the waiver. So, Dave, JD.
Good morning, supervisors. Thank you for your service. And thank you for this opportunity to talk about our dreams at Pier 29. I'm JD Beltran, a San Francisco native who grew up in the Richmond District. I'm an artist and arts educator, having taught at the San Francisco Art Institute, CCA, and Stanford. Dave and I started planning Art Plus Water more than 10 years ago, and we are thrilled to bring this vision to a long dormant part of the Embarcadero, and Pier 29 is also just adjacent to the new downtown revitalization district proposed. For too long, visual artists in San Francisco have been priced out, forced to move their studios out of the city or even out of the state, because the rents are too high here. This has had a profound effect on the health of the visual arts, period. San Francisco's reputation as a haven for artists of all kinds has taken a beating in the last 10 years, and this unaffordability is at the heart of it. If you'll take a look at this slide, this gives you a great overview of Art Plus Water. First, it would provide an artist residency program that provides opportunities for 20 emerging Bay Area artists from San Francisco, and 10 artist mentors in 6-month cohorts. We would have targeted outreach to artists from San Francisco and from low-income neighborhoods and backgrounds. There would be a daily walk-in gallery with rotating exhibits from local artists and opportunities to purchase local art. And there would also be an accessible event space for arts and culture organizations.
And we'll also, nice to see everybody. Thank you for having us. I founded 826 Valencia 22 years ago, and since then, with the city's help, we've been able to expand from our Mission Center to locations in Mission Bay and the Tenderloin. So we are so grateful for the city's cooperation in placing us in affordable spaces for 826 Valencia's writing and tutoring programs. This is a little bit like this. We will also have a vast educational program that's free to all SF Unified District School District schools and classes. There'll be field trips every day. There will be the same kind of hub of activity for students on field trips. You can imagine that a field trip would come to the Exploratorium and then be able to walk a couple blocks down and have a field trip in the visual arts. And so this is will be sort of much like the Ferry Building is for food and the Exploratorium is for science. This will be for the visual arts. It will be constantly active every day of the year with an emphasis on education, accessibility, and inclusion. Thank you.
Thank you both. So really the intent of the waiver here is to allow under the form of the lease, the port to reimburse CAST for work that they would perform in the shed. The scope of this work, given that it has been vacant so long, really is code compliance and other upgrades that facilitate their occupancy. And unlike traditional TI projects where a scope is set day one and bid and contracted, in this case, we're allowing CAS to have an allowance of $500,000 under the port lease, where the port would reimburse for small improvements, which would include some plumbing repairs, fire and life safety upgrades, upgrades to egress. There's plumbing work in the facility that needs to be done. So the intent is that iteratively over time, as they get into the facility and operate, they'll be able to address these latent issues quickly and cost effectively. We also are intent on having CAST opened for business by the end of the year and having the pier opened. Time is short, but you know, the team has committed to get the first pieces of this program running pretty quickly, and so we want to work in support of that. And I guess that's the last slide, so I'll open it up for questions and then have members of the CAST team here that can also speak specifically to the scope and the improvements. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott, for the presentation. Supervisor Dorsey.
Thank you. Chair Walton, and thank you, Scott, and I just want to express my support for this and my appreciation both to J.D. Beltran and Dave Eggers. I had expressed to Mr. Eggers that I am a fan of his work as an author, and also I don't know that I expressed that I'm a fan of your work as a nonprofit leader, too, especially representing Mission Bay, where I know you have expanded from 826 Valencia, and also for filling that important market need that for years was unaddressed in pirate supplies, because we just really... It's good to have that. So I just want to say how grateful I am for this, and I'm happy to support it.
Thank you, Supervisor Dorsey. Seeing no one else on the roster, we will go to public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this matter should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes.
Good morning. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to speak. My name is Paul Madonna. I've lived in San Francisco for 31 years and have been a professional artist in the city for almost 25. I own a home in District 11 and lease a studio in District 10. I produced a great deal of work in this city as my subject, including multiple public art projects. I took time out this morning to show my support for this project because I believe it is truly, truly a good thing that the city needs. I can easily recite a long list of bullet points of why it's worthwhile, from community centers of all sorts, from swimming pools to writing centers, how they're invaluable to giving young people structure and places to go, and also how we need to maintain our vibrant identity. We need to invest in the cultural fabric that allows that identity to thrive. But I think the best argument is to tell you that this is exactly the kind of space that 30 years ago would have changed my life. When I first came to the city, I was fresh out of college and I had nothing. I lived in a shared flat with barely room to sleep and certainly not enough room to have an art studio. My solution became to work in cafes. For me, they were not only spaces where I could meet like-minded people who had dreams of making art and contributing to the city, but it was a place where I could find my own identity. Without question, I can tell you that had there been a venue like this as the one you're being asked to support and fast-track today, it would have been more than a resource, it would have been a refuge. This is why I am here, to tell you that when this space is realized, I will be proud to participate, not just as someone who needs a space to work, but as someone who has made the city in his own way and who wants to contribute to fostering the next generation. So please, I ask you, if you want to help keep this city creative and the world-class environment that we claim that it is, support this and help us do our jobs. Thank you.
Are there any additional speakers on this matter?
And if you wish to speak, please line up to the right of the podium. Next speaker. No, you can come up and speak. If there are any additional speakers, we would just like for you to line up to the right of the podium.
Sorry. My name is David Keenan. I'm a director of special projects in the real estate division at CAST. I spent the last year and a half working very diligently on this project in preparation. I've worked very closely with port regulators on behalf of CAST to ensure that this project is safe and affordable for short-term arts activation, which was really difficult. I can safely say I spent well over 1,000 hours just designing this from a business plan and from a plan set and regulation perspective. So I'm very confident that this will be a model, actually, for how other cities and other ports could safely activate and rejuvenate underutilized warehouse properties. For it to work, we really need to have a kind of nimble build out phase, because it's only 2 years. And so for that, I humbly ask you to consider the Chapter 6 waiver. And if you have any questions, just let me know.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good morning again. I think I already met you. I'm actually speaking on behalf of Mac Liebert, who is the owner and general manager of Pier 23 Cafe and Restaurant. He sent me a letter this morning, and it reads, "We would like to pledge our support for the Pier 29 Art Residency Program. As a business along the San Francisco waterfront, we feel that building a community here will be a strong resource for the city. Like the many neighborhoods around town, the more opportunity for an experience on the Embarcadero will benefit everyone. We look forward to the future with all of our neighbors. I would also like to note that we received 5 other letters of public comment, which I have submitted to the court clerk. Thank you.
Are there any additional speakers on this matter? There are no additional speakers at this time.
Thank you. Seeing no additional speakers, public comment is now closed. And I don't see anyone on the roster, so I would like to make a motion to send this to the full board with recommendation.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, do we have any more business before us this morning?
That completes the agenda for today.
Thank you. We are adjourned.